نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in today's portion shows us quite a few different things, and one of the things we see here is the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during certain events. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is outlining the treatment towards believers as well as disbelievers as a defense mechanism for when people hurt Muslims and how they should behave and how they should not behave. However, throughout the entire reciting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most fair in as far as the way He's asking us to deal with ourselves, with mushriks, with munafiq, as well as with those people that wish to disbelieve. Anyway, one of the things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكْرَ اللَّهِ, regarding those people that are believers. And this is the month where we can practice this ayah and make it a reality in our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, when the believers hear the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَجِدَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, their heart goes into a type of tremor out of love and respect for Him. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And as far as the ayah is taken, when they hear it being recited, they do not take it as, well, it's just an ayah to be recited, let's wait for the clock to hit 11 o'clock so we can go home. That's not the way they are. When they hear the ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they hear words like Ya ayyuhan nas, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, when they hear simple words like muhsineen, these things, or they hear words like zalimeen, these things either bring fear in their heart or love in their heart. And this is what the Quran does for them. And as a result of that, it increases their iman and it increases the tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what the Quran should be doing for you and I. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also states very beautifully, oh, you believe, obey Allah and obey Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَهُمْ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ. Do not become like those individuals that say, we are hearing, but in reality they are not hearing. It's just like when you talk sometimes to a child, you say, don't play with that. He says, yeah, I heard you. What he says, I heard you. And thereafter he goes back playing with whatever he's doing. So what you tell him, yeah, I know you heard, but you didn't listen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying the same thing here. Do not become like those people that just put words from one side of the ear and take it out of the other side. Become like those people that are willing to observe and listen to that which is stated. Thereafter, وَإِذْ قَالُوا اللَّهُمَّ إِنْ كَانَ هَذَا هُوَ الْحَقُّ. And this ayah is talking about, وَإِذْ قَالُوا اللَّهُمَّ إِنْ كَانَ هَذَا هُوَ الْحَقُّ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ فَأَمْطِرْ عَلَيْنَا حِجَارَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. These are the people that make a challenge. Just like in today's time, people will say, well, you know what, my company, I got record production. I got record production. As a result of my record production, I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with me. The person may be gambling, he may be involved in intoxicants, everything that is wrong. But what he says, if Allah didn't like me, then He wouldn't give me the successful business. And if Allah didn't like me, He would have punished me a long time ago. This argument is very, very old, and people used to make it back then as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Prophet of Allah, tell to the people, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ. As long as you are amongst the people, I will, in other words, continue to bring rahmah in some form or the other. I will not punish them. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ مُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. And also what we learn from this ayah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also telling to you and I that if you, regardless of what wrong you did, if you make istighfar, I will make your life easy for you and I will also forgive you, even though in your life you may have committed a lot of aggression and a lot of wrong. Now we come to this ayah, وَعَلَمُ أَنَّمَا غَنِمْتُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَأَنَّ لِلَّهِ خُمُسَهُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about مَالِ غَنِيمَ. It is the most pure money for a Muslim. It is the booty money that is received as a result of people taking part in war. That's what, now I'm just translating the ayah. But the bottom line is, this ayah, whenever I translate it, sometimes you may think I'm saying things that I'm not saying. But anyway, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in the Quran, that know very well that as far as booty money is concerned, it is one-fifth of it must be used for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now how must it be used? In the following manner. The idea of war in today's time is to bring certain values to a given country, to take certain resources from one place to another. That's not the purpose of war in Islam. Here in Islam, what we learn from this ayah, that when money is received, immediately it must be given to Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How? Through the following manner. وَلِذِي الْقُرُبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنِ السَّبِيلِ. Other places, they'll use other words like وَالْجَارِ الْقُرْبَى وَالْجَارِ الْجُنُبِ وَصَاحِبِ الْجَمْعِ. In other words, the money that comes to a country as a result of war cannot just be used by certain people only. It must be used by those that need it most. Anyway, thereafter, we also hear the following phrase. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ زَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ وَأَعْمَالَهُمْ وَقَالَ لَا غَالِبَ لَكُمُ الْيَوْمَ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَإِنِّي جَارٌ لَكُمْ. From this ayah, what we learn is that as far as evil is concerned, regardless of what that evil is,
Shaytan will always make it look beautiful for you. And he'll tell you, no, your parents want you to come 11 o'clock home, don't worry. Go 1 o'clock home, let's make an excuse. Shaytan will even help you make an excuse to do wrong. Sometimes he'll even help you how to steal. And he'll even tell you, don't worry. What excuse he'll make is, and he'll give you excuses to make as a result of your theft. But after you get caught, what does Shaytan do? Inni bari'u mink, inni akhafu Allah. Thereafter he says, brother, how can I keep on helping every time? I must help you steal, I must help you cheat on your wife, I must help you do this, I must... Now I help you too much, now I got other passengers to bring on my boat. Now I will go away from you. And you are in trouble with your wife is angry with you, your husband is angry with you, Shaytan is busy with somewhere else. Then once everything pulls back, then he comes again and he starts making trouble. This is the ploy of Shaytan. Allah SWT is teaching us the psychology of Shaytan, so you mustn't become tricked by him. Thereafter, we also come across the following: وَإِنْ يُرِيدُ أَيَخْدَعُكَ فَإِنَّ حِزْبَكَ اللَّهُ هُوَ الَّذِي أَيَّدَكَ بِنَصْرِهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. This ayah is talking about a betrayal and how people will try to betray you and hurt you out there. What you must say is the following: فَإِنَّ حِزْبَكَ اللَّهُ. Allah is sufficient for me. Allah will suffice for me. Now, وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبَهُمْ. What does this ayah talk about? This is talking about the bond that must be created between us. Now the question is, how is the bond of love? Everybody wants unity. Everybody talks about unity today's time. And this ayah is talking about unity as well. Allah SWT says, لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرُضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ. That means if you were to spend the entire world's resources, لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرُضِ جَمِيعًا. You went to the oil reserves, you went to the gold reserves. The women are getting very happy when you talk about gold. You go to the gold reserves, you go to the platinum reserves, you go to whatever, you take all that money, you put it together. It'll be billions and trillions. This is Allah SWT is saying. لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. You put everything together. Do not think after you spend all that money to bring peace, you'll ever get peace. The only way this ayah says you'll get peace, if you follow that which is good and that which is correct at all times. And that's the only thing that will bring peace in your house, in your life, in your masjid, in your community, in your society. Giving your wife a fancy car is not going to bring peace. Giving your children the best of phones is not going to bring peace. Giving yourself or getting the best of job is not going to bring your peace. Writing the best of articles regarding Allah and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not going to bring you peace. The only thing that will bring you peace, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ إِنَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. In other words, following that which is good, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving peace to you and I when we do that which is good. اشتروا بآيات الله ثمنا قليلا فصدوا عن سبيلي. And also the ayah, يَا إِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْأَحْبَارِ وَالرُّهْبَانِ لَا يَكُنُ مِنْ أَمْوَالِ النَّاسِ بِالْبَاطِلِ. Also it continues, وَيَصُدُّونَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةَ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. From these two ayah, what we learn is the following, that those people that sell deen, those people that wish to buy it in their form, as far as they are concerned, they will never be able to be successful. And also those people that stop people from getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are never going to achieve their given good and their given lot. And also for those rabbis, that those rabbis and those priests that are trying to sell deen, what they are really doing when they try to sell deen, how do they sell deen? Very simple. This is what they do. You go there, rabbi or priest, you know, I sinned last week. You sinned last week? Okay, no problem. Take $20, give it in the box and say 21 Hail Marys, whatever Hail Marys is, that's what they say. And you, if you say, I committed zina, I cheated my wife, whatever, okay, for you, $100, you put in the box and you say 1,000 Hail Marys. Allah SWT says, it doesn't work like that. Saying Hail Marys and all those things is not really going to work. What these people are really doing is they are eating your money up, and they are sort of polluting the people, and they are stopping the people from going to that which is good. Allah SWT is telling people like us, who are supposedly in charge of people, that you don't become like them. You don't sort of take people's money and say, it's okay, it's okay. For you, there's a different fatwa. For others, there's a different fatwa. Don't become like that. Take pride in your work, because Jahannam, يوم يحمى عليها في نار جهنم فتقوى بها جباههم وجنوبهم, etc., etc. Allah SWT is saying that as far as Jahannam is concerned, it is very, very serious, and the pain and anguish it will bring is very, very very, very painful. So if you want to avoid the pain and anguish of the hereafter, then do not become like those individuals out there, like some of the people, some of the religious people, the Christians, the rabbis, the monks, etc., who sell the deen and stop people from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only for a worldly benefit and a worldly gain. Also, thereafter, we learn, كُلَّ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا هُوَ مَوْلَانَا. Whatever afflicts you. Another place we also read, أَوَلَّمَّا أَصَابَتْكُمْ مُصِيبَةً, etc. إِلَى آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. We learn from these two ayah that whatever happened to previous people may even happen to you, and whatever is happening to you is nothing so new. Other people's parents die, your parents will die. Other people lose wealth, you will lose wealth. Other people's children will give them hard time, our children may give us hard time. This is nothing new at all. All this has been prescribed and it is written. And you must know this. When you know this, then the little things that happen out there, it won't create any fear or anything of that nature in your heart. Huwa Mawlana. He is our Mawla, he is our friend. In Bukhari Sharif, this word also comes, because some people will say, how can we call a man Mawlana? How can some people call? I'm not saying you must call me that, but anyway, some people say, how can we call a people or a person Mawlana? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Mawlana. Bukhari Sharif already outlined this in two or minimum of three places, where a sahabi goes to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, you are our Mawlana. In other words, you are our friend. So this word is called a mushtarak lafz. In other words, one word that can have many meanings, like for example, the word jari, it can mean many things. It can mean ship, it can mean slave, etc. Like that, this is a mushtarak lafz. It has multiple meanings. So if you want to call someone Mawlana, and even call your own friends Mawlana, it can be done. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of Mawla. We don't deny that as well. Innama sadaqatu lil fuqara wal masakin wal amilin. This ayah talks about the different places in which you must spend your wealth. As far as the Shawafis are concerned, they are very, very, in fact, the original Shawafis, they are very, very serious on this ayah. This ayah talks about the seven places that you must spend your wealth, spend your zakah. And they are very, very serious about it. They say it must be spent on the fuqara, the masakeen, the amilin. In other words, that individual, not amilin like today's time. Amilin means the worker, the person who takes care of zakah. But the real meaning of amilin is that person who goes to the far corners. And he says, brother, let's count your sheep, let's count your goat, let's count your assets, and now we can take zakah and we can give it in the proper place. That's the true meaning of amilin. In today's time, what we do, some guy becomes an executive of some committee, he collects $5 million, and then he takes $1 million for himself. He says, I'm amilin. That type of amilin does not work, and everyone agrees to that as well. So there are seven categories of places that we are called upon to spend the money, but the Shawafis have also realized that it is very difficult to find seven places. So the new Shawafis have basically said, okay, never mind. If you find a poor person only to give it, then you can give it there as well. But again, what we learn from this ayah is that if you see different people, the masakin, the poor people, the people in the path of Allah, if we see them and they come for help, then do not turn away from them. المنافقون والمنافقات بعضهم من بعض والمؤمنون والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض. From this we learn that munafiqs and hypocrites and disbelievers, they are friends unto one another. يأمرون بالمنكر وينهون عن المعروف. What they are doing is they are actually taking part in evil, and they're helping people in evil, and they're stopping people from going to that which is good. وَيَقْبِضُونَ أَيْدِيَهُمْ. And as far as the hands are concerned, it does not want to give charity. They want to keep everything with them, because they think when they go in the grave, everything will come with them. And as far as the believers are concerned, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ, as I recited earlier, يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. They are doing good. They're helping people do good. And they're also helping others abstain from that which is evil. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةِ وَيُطِيعُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. As far as they are concerned, they are establishing salah, they are giving zakah in the right places, and also they are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they are the people that will gain the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only inshallah in this world, but also in the hereafter to come as well. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us in learning these basic things that we have learned here today, and help us practice these basic rules so we can gain goodness in this world and the hereafter to come as well. Just one more ayah. This ayah, people in America were asking the congressmen to write to all the different publishers and tell them to take out this ayah from the Quran. The ayah is, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu innamal mushrikuna najas, where the Quran says, as far as the mushriks are concerned, they are impure. Now this ayah, they wanted to take it out because they're saying, see, the Quran is teaching hatred. The meaning of najas is this. Let's say, for example, a kafir has a bath and I have a bath. Are we both pure? You will say yes. But then the Quran says he's still najis and he's impure. The meaning of najis is not physical impurity. In fact, a kafir can be more clean than me and you as far as purity is concerned. He may go for a bath 5 times a day and we may never go for a bath at all. So the meaning of najis here means they are impure in the heart in as far as their refusal of Allah is concerned. As far as the refusal of Rasulullah is concerned, they are impure in the heart in as far as turning the back on Musa a.s. is concerned, as far as turning the back on Isa a.s. is concerned, and things like that. So many Muslims who didn't know this meaning of this ayah, what they were saying, yeah, the Quran is teaching hatred. This type of thinking, I don't understand where they get it from. So what we learn from this is important for us to understand the Quran from its proper context. Yesterday we discussed in as far as the Salah was concerned. Oops. I was getting ready to go early, as you can tell. Regardless, yesterday we learned one thing you must be is consistent as far as Salah is concerned. If you are going to pick up your hand like this, then also consistency means your hand must be below the navel, and as far as your feet are concerned, it must face Qibla, and it must be on average 4 fingers apart. Not exactly 4 fingers, but average of 4 fingers. And if you're going to go like this, then no problem. Then of course your hand will be up or in different ways, but it will be above the navel. And as far as your feet is concerned, at times it will be a little spread out, but it mustn't be too spread out like how some people try to do, because the idea of Salah is to have khushu and khudu. And the more you spread it out, like me and one guy used to play games in madrasa. See, we knew one Shafi guy in class, right? He liked to spread his legs open. So he'll stand here, the Hanafi guy will stand, and I'll stand here. Now we knew the Shafi guy liked to spread his legs, so we should play games with him. So we purposely will stand like this, with legs closed. So Salah time comes, we'll stand like this, a little apart. So Salah time comes, we go a little closer. Now this poor guy, he starts off like this, and he has to go like this. He has to go like that. So it doesn't work out. So in the end, we told him, you understand what you are doing. Then he realized, sometimes we do things out of habit. So we're not picking anyone, just saying how things are. So if your hand is going to go like this, then of course your hand will go up, anyway above the navel. And then also your leg will be spread out, but in the proper manner. So that way when you go in sajda, you don't have to keep on doing this and that and all those type of extra things. You just have to go down the normal way. Also, as far as ruku is concerned, your back, I can't do a very good ruku. I'll be very honest, don't look at my salah, it's very, very weak. But as far as ruku is concerned, many people have a habit of bending their legs. Your legs must not be bent. According to the riwayah in Bukhari, your hands must be bent. In fact, the sahabi says, you know, a bow and arrow, a bow. The hand of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was like a bow. So he would go down, the legs must be straight. Anyway, and your back must be straight and your head must be in line, like how you stand. As I say, I can't do it very well. And as far as your hand is concerned, it must be bowed like that and your back must be straight. If someone can do it, can anyone do that? Anyone wishes to do
it? I will do it.
Okay, you go ahead. I know this is a brother, Ajman, is that his name? Jamal? Yeah, he does a very good ruku, I noticed. Just that his legs are a little spread. Yeah, that has to be more straight. Your head must be more straight. Right. This must be more. A little up. Push this in. Push this down.
That's I have a problem.
Okay, you shouldn't have stood up. You get what happens. You see how it must be? The back must be straight and your head must be aligned with it. If you're old like me, you can't teach me any new tricks. I'm just saying how it should be done and your hand should be. Now, if everything is followed properly in Salah, you realize Salah is like an exercise. You'll notice your stomach. When you stand straight, you'll notice gradually your muscle will be pulling over here. When you go like this, you'll notice your back, a slight stretch will come. There was a guy, I forget his name. He's a big reporter in America, I forget his name exactly. He does all this every day. He says when he started doing it, he's a non-Muslim. He learned this in Spain, he went to do research on Islam. And he says, since I started doing it, my back problems have left me and they went away. So if you do it the proper way, in the manner it's supposed to be done, then inshallah you'll benefit enormously. So again, your back must be straight, your head must be lined with the back, and of course, your hand must be a little bit like a bow. I also know that Maulana does a very good ruku. You can ask him how to teach you as well. Inshallah, we'll discuss a few other things later on. Wa akhir da'wan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.